Let's go to, I want to teach you something this morning, Hebrews 7 and 22 through 28. I'll read you one verse and then I'll let you be seated. Amen. Thank all of you for coming this morning. And by the way, the rain don't happen. I think Monday or Tuesday they'll be pouring the footing for the foundation. And then in a couple weeks after that, they'll pour the foundation. So we're making some progress. Hebrews 7, 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Lord, I come before you this morning. I ask that the ears of all of us be opened up to your word of the Lord, as well as our hearts, that we may receive and understand your perfect word, for it's perfect. But Lord, we are imperfect, but we ask that your word perfect us, that we can become more like you, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. By so much, not just a few things, he didn't slightly improve things. This was by so much. Jesus was made a surety or stood in, amen, for a better testament. We know the Old and the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, they truly were many priests. We started off with Aaron. I'll talk a little bit about Aaron this morning. We started off with Aaron being the first high priest. But there were many priests and many high priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And you know, it doesn't matter that we've had many presidents. What is this, the 45th president of the United States? Is that right? Huh? Help me. Okay, 45th. And so we're going to go with whatever philosophy Mr. Trump has for a while, right? But he's going to pass off the scene and we'll put another president. We're going to go with the philosophy of that one for a while. Same thing with churches, okay? I'm the pastor here and we go with my philosophy for a while. But I won't last forever. Somebody else take my place. We go with that philosophy for a while. But we got a high priest who never died. So we keep going. It's an unchangeable priesthood. By reason of death, they kept changing priests. As they changed priests, things changed. They were not allowed to continue by reason of death. They stayed until they died. But this man, because he continueth forever or ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, meaning from the beginning all the way to the end, no matter, you can't be too lost for him to save you. Save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man tries to come in any other way than through the door, the same is a robber and a thief. So to get to God, you have to go through the door. Seeing he liveth and maketh intercession. That's where I'm going to go this morning. Intercession for them or for us. For such an high priest became us. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, which Aaron had to do before he could offer a sin for yours. Now, it's important that you understand what I'm fixing to tell you. Before he could offer a sacrifice for your sins, he had to offer a sacrifice for his sin. He could not intercede for you until he was right. This is where I'm going this morning. He could not intercede for you until he had made intercession for his own situation. And then for the peoples. For this he did once when he was offered up himself. Christ only did it once, and he offered up himself for us all. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities. You voted me in here. You voted me in. I said you voted me in. I didn't vote myself in. You did. And when you voted me in, I will tell you, I'm not perfect. And you voted me in knowing that I'm not perfect. Men have infirmities, period. Care who they are. They all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. The law maketh men high priests which have infirmities. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forever. But the word of the oath through Christ, through the Son of God, we have now a consecrated high priest forever. So I want to teach for a little while the lesson of intercession. The lesson of intercession. To intercede means to come between two different things in an effort to make a situation improve or to make it better. I'm sure we have all interceded at some point between two situations. It may be your own two kids. It may be your mom and your dad. It may be between two dogs. I don't know. But we've all interceded somewheres along the way. And we've all had someone intercede for us along the way. And there is a power, but let me express to you, there is a danger of interceding. Had Aaron offered up sins for the people before he offered up sins for himself, he would have died. There is a danger to thinking you're an intercessor for other people. So what qualifies someone to be an intercessor? And we're going to talk about that, because too many people think that they're going to intercede and they're really not qualified to intercede. There is some qualifications to be an intercessor. It says first that Aaron must first take care of his own problem before he can take care of somebody else's problem. So the first thing, if you're going to intercede, is you need to know everything about all things. I mean, if two people are squabbling, you step in the middle, you don't know what they're fighting about. You don't know the whole story. You need to know all the circumstances, everything that goes around it. But the main thing is you need to be blameless. Who was it but Moses that tried to intercede when he saw an Egyptian and an Israelite fighting? And what happened? They both turned on him. He killed the Egyptian, then he saw two Israelites fighting. That's what he saw two Israelites fighting. He said, you know, he got in between both of them. Hey, boys, let's break this up. He said, who made you ruler over us? And they both started jumping on him. And he had to flee. Oh, he said, this thing is out. And he ran for his life. Here he was trying to intercede and had to run for his own life. You have to be careful when you think you're going to intercede between two people, because many times, instead of being an intercessor, you become an interrupter. An interrupter. You interrupt things, but you don't really intercede. It is rewarding to be an intercessor, but let me explain to you, it is very dangerous to try to be an intercessor. And one of our first high priests, came from Moses, who appointed his own brother in his inability to minister to the people himself, because he said, I'm slow of speech. So the Lord said, okay, he can be the spokesman. I don't know but what the Lord would have made Moses the high priest as well as the prophet of their day or the minister of their day. But he appointed his brother Aaron. Now it's important to understand that the priesthood became very large. It was a whole priesthood, the Levites. It was a whole tribe. And so then you had one high priest, one for all of Israel, one. And then you had many priests under the high priest, which were generally the sons of the priest. Moses anointed Aaron to be high priest, and Aaron anointed his sons to help serve to be priests. And they would work with the temple and keep it up and upkeep and minister to the people and so forth. It was a father, important to understand, a father and a sonship. It was a father and a sonship. That was the priesthood. That hasn't changed. It was still God, Jesus, sonship. It's a sonship. That's the way the order of the high priest. And Aaron would go into the holy place and intercede with God after he had interceded with God for his own sins and made offerings for his own sins. But he could not go in for the sins of the people until several things happened. Number one, he had to go offer sacrifices for his own sins and fast for 7 days. And at the end of 7 days, when he was sanctified, he had put on 9 pieces of a garment that he would wear, which would indicate that he had gone through the sanctification process. That was the indication. When he put on that, it was an indication that he had followed through with all the steps of being sanctified to intercede for others. No wonder the scripture says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't intercede for anybody else until you first put on the Lord Jesus Christ, until you first sanctify yourself, till you first get sin out of your own life, lest people turn on you. Yeah, but you, that's what happens when you try to intercede, is the finger turns to you. And there you were just trying to help somebody. But the Bible says that we are robed with righteousness. You should go through the same process as Aaron did before you ever step in to help anybody else. Hebrews tells us that Jesus made a surety, this better testament than the priest of the Old Testament. Men appointed people that had infirmities, but Christ had no infirmities. He lacked in no area. Amen. And because he lives forever and had no sin, he can save to the uttermost. There's only so much I can do. There's only so much I can do before the finger starts pointing at me. But you couldn't point a finger at him because he was faultless, he was blameless, and he was guiltless, and he didn't leave us hopeless. You must first come to God through a high priest. Now, can I tell you that's never changed? The Old Testament was not done away with. It was fulfilled in Christ. So that you still have to go through a priest. But the Bible says not earthly priest. Because Christ became the high priest. And his kingdom as a high priest is still going on. He liveth forever. Oh no, they took his life. No, he laid down his life. He offered himself, but he himself as the spirit man never died. The spirit of God never died. Just like your spirit's never going to die. Your spirit doesn't die. So he brought in not a different testament, a better testament. Hebrews is a book of betterment, not a doing away of the other, but a betterment. So we still take our sins to a high priest, to a priest. You thought about that? You still go to the priest. Just not earthly priests who had infirmities and weaknesses, and you're telling them about your sins and they got sins too. So now we had Aaron and his sons, and then you had God. They had the Son of God became the high priest. It was a father and a son and a priesthood. And so now he brings us into the priesthood as being sons of Christ, or the sons of God, right? Ye are the sons, you become the sons of God. So he brings us into the priesthood. When Christ died on the cross, the veil that was in the old tabernacle was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You remember that? He said, it is finished. Rocks rent, and so did the veil. It rent too, from top to bottom. And then he says, we now can go boldly into the throne of grace, we, me, you, to obtain mercy in the time of need. You now can go directly to the high priest, not through me, not through Aaron, not through some other priest, right to him. He is the high priest. So Aaron would go under the veil. When they would go into, when Aaron would go, or any high priest went into the presence of God in the holiest of holies, they would take a rod and lift the veil up, and they would go under because it was one piece. In my mind, I always thought they went around the edge of it. That's not what happened. They would lift it up and he would go under. And when it was time to come out, they'd lift it up like this, and he would come out. But when Christ died and said, it is finished, it was rent in twain that we might go through the veil. That we might go through the veil. No longer under the veil, no longer through concealment, but it's like peeling the curtains back to whosoever will want to come and bring your sins to the high priest, let him come. Let him come with all his cares and cast them on me, for I care. So this was a better testament. It wasn't a doing away of the testament. It was a better testament than the old way of doing it. So I want to talk about these qualifications of being an intercessor, because many times, and please don't stop doing this, I just want to make you aware of things. I'm going to stand in for so-and-so today. I'm going to stand in for so-and-so. I'm going to intercede for so-and-so. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you what you're really doing. You're going to stand in. Sometimes I'm afraid we stand in for someone who God has plans. He's working on them. And you're interceding to stop what God's doing. Because you're not sensitive enough to know that this is the plan of God, that they're going through what they're going through because God is trying to perfect them. And you're going, I'm going to intercede. Well, you're hitting a brick wall. You have to know when it's time to intercede, how to intercede. In order to intercede, now listen close, you cannot intercede any higher than you are. That's important to write down. You cannot intercede any higher than you are. Aaron first had to offer sins for his own self, then for the people. He had to get above them to intercede for them to a perfect God who he was not. Or you understand what I'm trying to tell you? So when you say, I'm going to stand in for something, well, how's your life? How are you? Or are you ready to meet the Lord yourself? This ain't shouting material, I can tell you. You cannot intercede for anyone unless you're higher than them. I'll give you, this is just an example. Let's just say, just make this up. Let's just say you got a ticket for not having a fire extinguisher from the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. Just say that, you know. Now, if I needed someone to intercede for me, I'm not going to a bartender. Hey, would you intercede for me? He said, pal, I got about five of them myself. I ain't paid my tickets yet. What are you talking about? No, I'm going to the governor because he's higher than the one that wrote me the ticket. Or you understand what I'm saying? That's who I want interceding for me, someone higher than me. And that's what Christ is someone higher than me. But you're going in to intercede for somebody and you might be lower than them. And you cannot intercede for people you are lower than. You can only intercede for people that you're higher than. You have to have a relationship with the people you're interceding for, but you also have to be in good relationship to the one you're going to talk to. So you can't, a guy going to go and intercede for you for this ticket, and he's got 10 tickets himself, and he walks into the wildlife fisher, hey, I want to talk to you about this ticket that Joe got over here. And he said, well, how about your tickets? You remember when the devil tried to pray for a devil in the name of Paul and Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that devil said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who in the tarnation are you? And he tore that guy up and he ran off. You can't intercede for what you're not higher than. Are you understanding me this morning? So when you say, I'm going to step in for somebody, you better be careful. A lot of times people, I'm just going to help them. Lord have mercy, and all the fingers start pointing at you. That's what I call good intention dragons. You go in there and just breathe fire into the situation. Think I'm going to help. You just start a fire. Hebrews tells us that Jesus made this surety. He made it to where I can be certain that if I go in, he is just and willing to forgive me. The intercessor must be higher than the one they're interceding for, but lower than the one they're going to talk to. Amen. Lest they make matters worse. Now, let's look at what Christ's qualifications were to be an intercessor. We've already read it, but you probably didn't catch it. Let's go back to Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. What an intercessor we have. Ooh, I'd clap our hands for our intercessor this morning. Hallelujah. You can't get any better than this. And so here we sometimes going to intercede. And we should. we should be in position where we can intercede for people. But the church needs to be able to intercede. Husbands and wives need to be able to intercede for their children. But you can't intercede for your own children till you yourself or where you need to be. Lest they point their finger at you and say, you're the reason I'm the way I am. You didn't take me to church. You didn't lead me in the right way. Intercession is made on a spiritual basis in our living for God, not on a carnal basis. Jeremiah 27:18 says, but if they be prophets, Jeremiah was this lonely prophet because he was surrounded by false prophets. And he was the only one like telling the truth and no one wanted to hear the truth. But if they be prophets, the Lord said, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not into Babylon or into captivity. If they be who they say they are, then they should be able to make intercession for what's left, the remnant that's left. Amen. And so you and I should be in position to where we can be intercessors for our children, for our church, for our friends, for our neighbors. You should be able to do that. Isaiah 53:16 says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained them. Now, I want you to see this, because I'm going to bring you to the New Testament in a minute, and it's going to mess your mind up if you're not careful. He looks down, and the Lord says, you know, there was no one to intercede. There was no word, there was no vision, there was no prophet, there was nobody to intercede to bring salvation unto them. So in order to be an intercessor, he says in the next verse, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. Does this sound familiar? And he put on garments of vengeance of clothing with clad with the zeal as a cloak. This passage of scripture is all about interceding. This is about standing fast for somebody else. This is about standing in the gap. This is about resisting someone else. This isn't really my battle. Intercessors get involved with things that aren't really their battle. But I'm going to intercede. I saw nobody to stand in that gap. So he puts on this. And we look at Ephesians 6:11, which is a very popular scripture, and I'll read it quickly because we all know this. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay, because here we are. We've taught this always. I'm fixed to go fight the devil. I'm going to go. This is an intercessor. What you're going to read here is someone who is interceding for somebody else. Paul is that intercessor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which are the tricks of the devil. It is the armor of intercession. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day, evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, this is, goes back to the same scripture in Isaiah, which he was looking for an intercessor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is an intercessor's attire. This is what you're doing to intercede for all saints. you withstand. I could read you scriptures where Joshua changes garments. Joshua the high priest, not the one that crossed over Jordan. Not Joshua the high priest. He got ready to change garments into the white robes that we'll someday take on. And he said, and I stood there to resist the devil. He was an intercessor. He was interceding for Joshua while he was in transition. He was backing the devil off so he didn't snatch his body. And so it is, he's given us all these things that we may stand and withstand because we're interceding for other people. It says, praying always. Supplication in the Spirit. The Lord, Peter told the Lord, he said, I'm going to go with you. Now, all them other jokers, they can leave. But if that's for me, I'm with you. And he said, will you go also? He said, no, you got the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? I'm with you. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll go to prison with you. Oh, I said, I'll go even further than that. I'll die for you. And the Lord said, I'm not interceding for that. Because I know what's fixing to happen. And I could say, devil, back off. Leave him alone. This is one of my chosen right here. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm going to intercede for you. He said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, you don't know what you're saying. By the time the cock will crow, you will have denied me three times, but I'm not interceding for you. I'm going to pray for you that your faith fail not. The best intercession you can ever do is stay out of it. Let me tell you, stay out of it. Stay out of it and pray. And pray. The best thing you can do is stay out of it. If you don't have the answer, stay out of it. And just pray. Because prayer is the only thing that changes things. I've seen so many people are going to intercede. Oh, and they come out mad and angry. They come out worse than they went in. Because they were not really above the situation themselves. Oh, I'm getting some crossed eyes out there. Stay out of it. Say that with me. Stay out of it. Praying always. And for me, relive it further. It gets better. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that they let me talk, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Y'all pray for me that I can speak the words of truth that God has put in my mouth, because I am an ambassador in chains. I got something to say, but I can't say it because all these chains. Y'all pray for me that the chains will be loose so I can open my mouth and preach the gospel to others. Now that's worth praying about. So an ambassador, Brother Valentine, he doesn't change the word. He just carries the word. An ambassador to Israel, an ambassador to a foreign nation, they got a briefcase in their hand, they're all ambassadors, they got a word in there. Now, I get a little sick of people always got a word for you, too. I'll be honest with you. Stay out of it. If you really don't have a word, stay out of it. But if you really got a word, it's not your word, it's his word. You might ought to say, God's got a word for you. Because I don't have no words for you. Sometimes I do, and it's not the right words. God's got a word for you. And it's right here. And they open up their briefcase. They don't change that word. They don't scratch words out. They don't fix it. They just say, here's what God said. Here's what the U.S. said. And that's what an ambassador does. Here's what God said. Now, you may not like it. Don't get mad at me. This is what God said. That's what an intercessor does. Let me close with this pretty quick. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It is the Spirit. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. We're praying, Lord, get them out of this. God, if you'll just get them through. God's putting them through this so that they will wake up and realize that they can't do this without him. God knows what he's doing. You don't know what you're doing. And we don't know how to pray as we ought unless the Spirit does the praying. Because anytime you give me a daddy and a mama, they're going to pray their kids out of everything, including purgatory. They're going to pray their kids out of everything. Because that's what mom and daddies do. But parents don't know how to pray as they ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. Ooh, it's the Spirit that talks to the Spirit. And so the Spirit that's in you should say, Lord, I don't understand what my kids are going through. But Lord, I trust you and I believe you. So Lord, I'm going to put it in your hand. I'm going to pray for my kids that their faith fail not. Their pocketbook may fail, but I don't want their faith to fail. Maketh intercession with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God knows what's best for you. Christ knows what's best for you according to the will of God. If you're doing all that you can do to live for God and you know you're living for God, then you got to say the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. If he will see, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is the path you ordered for me. I'm just going to walk it out. You're with me. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. In other words, he's completed his course. You should not be giving marriage counseling to other people if you had multiple marriages. I'm not condemning. I'm just saying you're not the person to give that. Give me somebody who's been married 30, 40 years and same person, then they're the good, y'all stay married a little longer and I might use y'all on that, just a little longer, okay? And you know what they'll tell you? Here's how I handled this. Here's what happened early in our marriage. And here's what happened about this time in our marriage. And we learned how to love our way through this thing. They're going to give you some wonderful counseling. And so you have to be in position to make that. You have to finish your course. Christ sat down on the right hand of God and he maketh intercession for us. And he goes, I went through that same temptation. Help them, Lord, get through this. I went through that same thing. In that garden, I got close. Lord, you remember that time I said, if it be thy will, I'd let this cup pass from me. They're right there. Lord, I'm praying for them that they'd be strong. See what I'm talking about? People that's finished the course know how to pray, because they've been through it too. But people that never finished, they can't be intercessors. Elijah was a great intercessor. I've got to close, but Elijah was a great intercessor on Mount Carmel. Ooh, he was calling down fire and everything. Well, I got to show you this. I'm sorry. I got to show you this. He was calling down fire and he's a great intercessor, but I got to show you this. Then he's in the cave, right? What happened? Flesh. As long as he was in the Spirit, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, let him answer by fire. And they said, his will said, he calls down the fire. You know, he takes the sacrifice, takes up the water, takes up the rocks even are gone. But now he's in a rock. He's in a cave. And now he's going to make intercession for Israel? Really? Really? Let's see what he says real quick. For I say, hath God cast away his people? Now, Paul's making intercession for the remnant of the Jews that they feel forsaken, because everything's turned to the Gentiles, and now they're feeling forsaken. He said, God hasn't forsaken his people. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Look at me. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Won't ye not that the scripture saith of Isaiah or Elias? Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they killeth thy prophets, they dig down thine altars, and I see he's making intercession for himself. He wasn't making intercession for Israel, he started making intercession for himself. He got carnal, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what answereth or saith the answer of God to him? Hey, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed a knee to the image of Baal. You've got to get over this carnal thing you got going on. And it really intercede for the remnant that I got left. And this is what happens when we try to be intercessors. Many times we get flesh in the way of really what we're trying to intercede for. Paul said, take this thing, this thorn, oh God, oh Lord, this person just keeps bothering me. Take them away, Lord. He said, wait a minute. I ain't taking that away. You might as well quit praying that. You might as well quit praying that intercessory prayer over that carnal thing. I'm using this to buffet you, pal. I'm using this to keep you under subjection. He said, well, I'll quit praying about that because that's a closed door. Now I'll glory in this, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, Lord, God bless you. Take a quick break. We'll be back for morning worship.